Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, it's JD here, and off the top of the show, I just want to make a quick announcement that Podlist is coming back. That's right, Podlist 5, to be exact. And what is a Podlist exactly? Well, it's a podcast playlist. It's a Podlist. Podlist 5 will launch July 8th, 2024, and this is your official call for submissions. I am looking for your pavement or pavement adjacent songs recorded on a WAV file sent to me via jd@meetingmalkmus.com or WeTransfer, preferably, because the files will be big. MP3s are okay, but WAV files rule the day. I need these files from you by June 15th of 2024 in order to make the cut, so get your files to me on or before June 15th. Get your band together. Pick up an acoustic guitar and just play your balls off for whatever song you choose. It's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun, and maybe we'll do something a little bit different this year with the Podlist once it's done. When you send me the file, please send me your band name or your handle, as well as any pertinent information about the band that I need to know to introduce your song. That's what I've got for you. This is your official call for submissions. Again, WAV files on or before June 15th to make Podlist number 5 a reality.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
Okay, so the number 44 track, you've just heard it. It's Embassy Row, the second song from Brighten the Corners after Blue Hawaiian at number 50 on the countdown. Scott, what do you think of Embassy Row at number 44?
Embassy Row, I do love. It's things I like about it is it kind of lulls you in with this. Well, I feel Malkus kind of does quite a lot with his lyrics and his melodies. They're kind of like nursery rhymes, the way they flow. And the structure of the set is quite kind of nice.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own Top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and, strangely, a change counter. And all that's left for us to reveal is this week's track. How will your favorite song fare in the ranking? You'll need to tune in, or whatever the podcast equivalent of tuning in is, every week to find out. So there's that. This week, we're joined by Pavement superfan, Josh in Pittsburgh. Josh, how are you doing, motherfucker?
I'm pretty good, JD. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. So what's the weather like in Pittsburgh right now?
Cold. It's been below freezing. It's been snowy and icy. It's a bit of a reprieve today, as it's only going to be about 32, but then we're supposed to get another like 2 to 4 inches in and around the city here in the next couple of days.
Oh my gosh. We've been very fortunate here in Toronto. It's cold. Cold as hell, but no snow so far. Like really, there's been a couple inches, but it's like not staying on the ground.
Yeah. It's just not as much snow as it feels like we had when we were kids anymore.
No, definitely not. Feels like there was like walls of snow when I shoveled my sidewalk. Like, that might be my height. I don't know. So Let's not beat around the bush here. Let's talk about Pavement. Let's hear your Pavement origin story.
It starts with Malkmus self-titled in earnest. I'll work back a little bit.
Sure.
I'm 46. I'm a full-blown child of the 90s. I think I was 13 to 23 in that decade. So super formative years.
Yeah.
Hugely into Beastie Boys and Nirvana and Primus, all things Les Claypool, all that. And definitely was hearing Pavement, probably Beavis and Butthead was maybe my first exposure. Cut Your Hair. And I think I remember in college, we're like maybe around 98, 99, I went down to the local record store in Burlington, Vermont, and I got some tapes because I had unearthed an old Walkman. And I got Slick Rick, The Art of Storytelling, and something else. And I got Crooked Rain on tape. I was like, I need to get back into this Pavement thing a little more and see what's going on. And Gold Sounds became quite an anthem for me. I was a huge Fish fan, the band Fish. And I was in Pittsburgh, of course, because I live here, when they played here one summer. And they covered Gold Sounds by Pavement.
They did?
And I was just like, worlds colliding in the perfect way. Fish has covered quite a few indie bands. Trey's got a big indie thing. Malkmus was at a Fish show recently with Jake.
Oh, wow. In
Seattle. I know the Jix drummer. He took him. Yeah, he's a big Dead and Fish fan, and he took Malkmus to a show, I think. So, they were definitely on the radar, but they weren't like penultimate for me yet. And then I moved out to California after college. It was 2000, and I was feeling pretty distant from everything back home on the East Coast where I'd lived and grown up. There was some family stuff going on. I started to feel isolated. I don't think 9/11 had happened yet, but it was just that whole time in life. And I was feeling kind of just depressed and detached a little bit. And then I saw Malkmus on Letterman doing Jenny and the S-Dog.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. I was like, that's not Pavement. What's he doing? And he's, Letterman's like, he's got a new album out and it's great. Go check it out. And I think I went to Tower Records on Sports Arena Boulevard in San Diego the very next day and got the album. And it really helped me quite a lot because here I am, this like total slacker out in California, no clue what I'm doing. My network's not around me anymore. And I'm like, look at this guy, Malkmus, the slacker gentleman of our generation here is out here still doing his thing. And he sounds great and he looks great. He's like, I can keep being me. I can find my way back. I don't have to make some grand sweeping change in life. I can just, be the aging slacker as well. And, from there, I wore that album out, self-titled. I wore it out.
Me too.
Dug back into the Pavement catalog, full bore. What was the second Jix album?
Piglib.
Piglib. Wore it out. In fact, the Piglib with the Japanese bonus tracks might be, it's right there at the top of my, the entire Malkmus Pavement catalog. That Piglib with the Japanese bonus tracks is maybe my number one go-to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he speaks to me. I get it. I love it. Like I said, he's sort of our gentleman slacker representation for our generation, I feel like.
Totally. He's the crown prince of indie rock.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Or what did Courtney call him? Courtney called him the clown prince. Yeah, Courtney Love called him the clown prince of indie rock, I think.
Which is fine. I mean, if anybody's a clown with her makeup and her antics.
Malkmus did you get a chance to see them on the 2010? Like, I'm guessing you didn't see them earlier on. Did you see them on the 2010?
I never saw Pavement until this reunion tour. I had plans to go to New York City with a buddy in 2010. And he was an acquaintance. He was the only other Pavement fan I knew. He was just another guy I would see at my local bar hang all the time.
You were still in California at the time?
Let's do it. No, I was back in Pittsburgh by now. I was back in Pittsburgh by 06. And I was like, dude, Pavement, I'm just going to be in New York. Let's go. He's like, yeah, I'll go. But we just weren't close enough friends to, like, you know, formulate the plan and see it through. I should have just gone on my own or something. But no, I didn't see that 2010 tour.
Where did you see them in 2022 then?
I saw them in Detroit. No, they didn't play in Pittsburgh. Pavement didn't play in Pittsburgh. I saw Pavement in Detroit and then in D.C.
Oh, cool. Where did they play in D.C.?
Some old theater. I can't remember the name of it right now.
Because the venues were really cool.
It was one of the, you know, his whole UVA crew, his whole Virginia contingent was there.
Oh, wow.
So I think he really, you know, laid it on a little bit. You could feel something a little special. I think there was a couple of the more rare songs from the tour, if I remember from that database that somebody put together of all the songs that they played.
Yeah, and that was pretty slick on Reddit.
I drove out there myself. I went to Detroit with my wife. I went to DC solo. Oh, yeah. I was right in the front row. Got one of these from Bob.
Oh, shit. He's holding up a ping pong ball right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of the autographed ping pong balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought a ticket myself for the second row, and serendipitously, there was nobody in the seat right in front of me in the front row.
So you were in the front row.
As soon as they walked out, I hopped over my seat. I was right in the front row, right in front of Mark, rocking out,
excellent,
burying my head in the speakers, just eating it up.
Oh, that's great.
And I kind of hung around afterwards, just kind of coming down before I got in my car. I drove all the way back to Pittsburgh myself after D.C.
How big a drive is that?
4 hours.
Whew.
But so I was hanging around, just kind of coming down a little bit, and there was this downstairs lounge. I went and got some water, went to the bathroom, and they cleared everybody out of this lounge real suddenly. And I go upstairs, and you see this whole crew of people with Pavement intermingled. And I was like, oh, that's his like friends and family, Virginia crew right there or something.
Very neat.
Yeah.
You didn't elbow your way in.
I was like, I wonder if I could just sneak into that line and get back down in the lounge. And they'd be like, wait, who are you? I was like, I'm about the right age. I could probably just mix right in. They'd be like, which one are you again?
Yeah. Oh, I was a major in history.
Yeah, Josh from Lit, remember?
What's your record? Which is the record that you go to the most often?
For Pavement?
Yeah.
You know, I've got these playlists on my Apple Music that are just, one's Malkmus and it's everything he's ever done. One's like Malk only, one's Pavement only. So most of the time I just hit shuffle and let it go. I'm one of those,
I have the same thing,
unapologetic fans that I can't, like, everybody's like, what's your least favorite album? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
but you know, it changes. Wowie Zowie's always near the top. Crooked Rain's always near the top, but it's really hard to say my go-to.
Yeah, it's a Sophie's choice for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they're 1 and 1A at the very least. For me, it's Bright in the Corner and Bright in the Corners and Watery Domestic are.
Oh, well, the Watery Domestic EP is hands down the best collection of songs that they, you know.
Right?
A little 4-song EP. That's, I mean, if we're counting that, then that's the go-to. That's my number 1. Pavement, like, recording
from 1990 to 92, they were so prolific,
yeah,
and so much of it was great. And then they follow that up with Crooked Rain, and it's like, just what an embarrassment of wealth.
I know, slanted, and they came out swinging.
Yeah, absolutely. So, should we flip the script today and talk about our featured song of the week, which is track number 43?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so we'll take a quick break and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown. 1966.
All right, that was the fifth track from Bright in the Corners, Old to Begin. It's our third song from Bright in the Corners on the countdown so far. Of course, number 50 was Blue Hawaiian, and just last week we listened to Embassy Row at number 44. So here we are with Old to Begin. Josh in Pittsburgh, what do you think of this as track number 43?
I love it. It was in my top 20.
Oh, wow. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. I was kind of sitting at my desk at work thinking about where I rank these songs, and Set You Back just kept ringing in my head. It's not, it's probably lower down in my 20, but it's in my 20 for sure. It's great. It's got kind of all of those Pavement elements to it. It does the sort of loud, quiet, loud thing really well. I'm a bit of a gearhead. I think you can hear probably, I want to say the Crowther Hot Cake was one of their go-to overdrive pedals, but there was something else. I think it's called the J-Drive, which is another drive pedal that Malkmus had used in Pavement era, early Jicks maybe. You can really hear the guitars crunching.
Yeah.
And then that last 30 seconds, that's that classic why we buy the ticket and take the ride kind of Pavement stuff where they just devolve into that, you know, symphonic chaos. Malkmus is doing that perfectly affected kind of vocal whine and grind that he kind of can peel out there.
It's so shrill and punky, right?
Yeah, like
it's
absolutely. So,
and yet the lyrics he's singing are like la la la, you know. So it's yes. Like this strange dichotomy of sounds going on, you know.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, juxtaposition. I guess that's a tension element.
Yeah,
you know, it's good stuff. The lyrics are. You know, I think the easy go-to there is that it's sort of a, maybe not quite a love song, but a dedication, you know, relationship, aging, all that sort of stuff. But I've kind of always had this thought that you could view this song, if you wanted to, maybe as a relationship and a critique that Malkmus has with art and culture.
Oh, expand on this.
Well, you know, sort of metaphorically and even straightforwardly, the lyrics definitely have a lot of art sort of bent and reference to them.
Sure. I can see that.
Summary acts, narrative age, you know, fixture set in 1966. I kind of have always had this low-key thought that maybe he's sort of lamenting, because we know that he loves art and culture, literature, theater, worked in the museum. You know, we know that he's quite a literate dude, definitely knows what's happening, I think, in the art and culture worlds at all times. And we also know that he's the kind of guy that is easily bored and dismissive of things that he maybe thinks are a little derivative or that sort of thing. And if you kind of think about that, when you listen to these lyrics, you could kind of maybe skew it that he's, you know, bored with theater and art, that it's in a rut, that it's stuck in some old ways, that it's, you know, I don't need your summary acts to give into the narrative age. Like, he doesn't want somebody just cramming the things down his throat. He, you know, he wants people to approach art and, you know, overlay their own ideas, map their own feelings and thoughts onto something that's, you know, I don't think he likes when an artist hands it to you on a platter, certainly with his lyrics. I think he leaves a lot sort of open to interpretation by keeping it intentionally vague and distorted.
Uh-huh.
So I've kind of always had this thought in the back of my mind that, you know, maybe he's complaining about some art and culture going on at the time, that it's just, it's stuck in a rut. It's too straightforward, in your face.
You're watching them reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And, you know, set you back, set old to begin. Like, you know, somebody presents some new play or some new piece and it's been done. It's old to begin. We've seen this. We have this. Somebody needs to move art forward.
This is good.
Yeah, that's sort of been something I always thought, that's a little outside of the going ideas about old to begin.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to that last part, and it certainly feels a little more on the nose with, you know, all those things that can get you bored with a, you know, a physical loving relationship with a partner. Latent cause, menopause, stress, credit card debt, all that sort of stuff that he talks about. But even still, I mean, if you're an aging artist and you're approaching middle life and, you know, maybe you feel that you've lost that youthful exuberance and desire to dig in and find and create something new. You know, what slows anybody down from anything they love, be it a person, be it their output in life? It's, you know, all this getting old crap that we have to deal with.
I'm staring 50 in the barrel right now. July, I turned 50. So yeah, I get it. I get that. Yeah. Yeah, that's real. Because to me, his lyrics are tough to rifle through. This song is probably the most straightforward in a sense. Like not using your theory, just looking at the lyrics straight ahead, there's a lot of references to age and that sort of thing. You know, we hear about menopause, we hear about set in 1966, we hear, of course, Old to Begin, you know, a senile genius. We don't get a lot of that in Malcolmist songs, like I don't find, like where there's a lot of consistency with the lyrics. So I can see how you can, you know, take a surface look or go deeper like you did, and you're likely to be satisfied in either case, whereas a lot of times his lyrics aren't, without sounding negative, aren't necessarily satisfying because you're left scratching your head. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you know, I do also look at the song very much on its surface, because it, you know, as I was saying in my little back history there, I was kind of dealing with getting older and, you know, leaving sort of the college life and East Coast life behind when I was out West, and kind of unsure about what I was going to do or supposed to do. So, you know, and like I said, his whole vibe really helped me kind of reconcile with all that. So I do love the lyrics on their surface too, for that, because yeah, I mean, he's dealing with the same thing. You're almost 50. I'm 46 now. Like, I got back pain. I was laid up with back pain a couple of weeks ago for about a day and a half. I got credit card stress, you know? So it is comforting to take the lyrics very much on their surface.
Yeah.
But then he's also talking about, you know, I think a love life, if you take them.
Yeah, I think
like
so.
That. And, you know, you want to have a partner to grow old with that helps you feel good. You know, that you can kind of buoy each other and keep each other afloat and moving ahead. And you know, if you get dissatisfied or disenfranchised with your partner, like I think maybe on its surface is some of the stuff being talked about here, that can be really a lot to contend with. What's one of those lyrics in there? Find your identical twin, or, you know, that's another thing. That's one of those things. That line right there, I can never decide if he's saying finding an identical twin or find an unidentical twin.
Yeah, it does sound like the way it rolls off the tongue, it does sound like unidentical twin, the way it is.
Time his lyrics we drifted totally apart, this find an unidentical twin. Is that saying like we're too similar and being too similar is not satisfying? You drift apart. You want to find somebody less like you, somebody different, or, you know, are they drifting apart because one of them's Old to Begin and he wants something more, and maybe he wants to find somebody more like him, find an identical twin. You know, it's just one of those things again with, I think he intentionally leaves things a little, like the vocal tracks are a little low in the mix or intentionally mumbled or garbled so that you reach a little more, you find whatever meaning you need.
Yeah.
You hear it the way you need to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a great song.
Yeah. One of my favorites.
All my gear in my house is named after a piece of pavement, a pavement song. So my backup drive is called Old to Begin.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
My fantasy football team is named the Stockton Hex.
Oh, nice. How are you doing? I guess it's playoffs. I'm kind of obsessed
with fantasy football. I got a couple of different teams. They're all named Stockton Hex, and they all have the rooster from Lottery Domestic as my team logo.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You know, I do well enough. I keep entertained. I don't I win a little money here and there.
Oh, you're playing for scratch. I like it.
Yeah, but yeah, I have the same sort of tendencies to name a lot of playlists and items and things for, you know, song and music references, Fish, Pavement, Beastie Boys.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to guess that my next question, I already know the answer to my next question, really, because you had this song inside your top 20. So my next question is, do you think the song is properly rated? And I'm guessing you would say no, because at 43, it's well beyond the top 20.
That's fine. It is properly rated. I'm glad it made the top 50. You said you got over 100 songs submitted.
Yeah. Yeah. 120.
And, you know, to tell you the truth, I compiled my list, JD. I never actually sent it to you.
Shit.
I'm such a quintessential slacker that I worked on it and worked on it, and it was sitting on my desktop at work. And I was like, you know, I never did send that thing in, which makes me feel, you know, maybe I could have bumped Old to Begin up a slot or two. One of my personal favorite deep tracks, Greenlander. I wonder if it appeared at least in your 100 or so. I gotta pay my $3 and get back into the bonus feed so I can listen to 50 through 100. I think I heard you mention you're doing those.
Yeah, it starts this Friday.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I should have got my list in there to do a little service to a couple of my deeper cuts personally. But
right?
Yeah, I think as far as the general fan base, I think probably Old to Begin is fairly rated. I know you're a Brighton guy. I love all the albums almost equally, but I think probably Brighton is near the bottom of most Pavement fans' list, if you ask
them. Seems like it. Yeah.
So for any Brighton song to make it in the 50, you got to feel pretty good for them.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And quite a few made it in.
Yeah. Well, there's
reveal the number.
There's definitely a few bangers on there.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, is there any place that people can track you down or that you would want to be tracked down on the internet or anything like that?
I just live in Pittsburgh. I work my job. I work with raise my family. And
so if I come to town, you'll take me for Fermonti Brothers?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? If I was going to stump for anything, I had tickets for the Trad Tech Tour that got canceled due to COVID.
Me too.
And if anybody's going to log in anywhere and search for anything or leave a message, let's all try to hit up Malkmus and Sweeney and those guys and tell them to get it back together and get out there and give us that Trad Tech Tour, man. I want to hear those two guys shredding the guitar together.
That's a strong record. That's a really strong record.
Yeah. I had tickets to, I forget where, I think probably Cleveland and maybe Detroit. You know, I try to hit them. If they come to Pittsburgh, great. And if they hit any of those sort of Rust Belt cities within my reach, I hit them up. So if Traditional Techniques tours around or if Pavement comes around again, we'll try to hit them up together. If you come to Pittsburgh, yeah, we'll go to Permane's.
Ah, love it. I love the ballpark there. I'm a baseball guy, and you have a gorgeous ballpark.
You got my email. Anytime you're going to be in Pittsburgh for anything, drop me a line.
Will do. Awesome. Well, it was great talking to you today.
Yeah, you too.
All right, brother.
I guess so on that the note, outro. Oh, one last thing, since the outro is probably coming up. I don't know if this is the same for everybody else, but I don't hear Carrot Rope the same anymore.
Oh, really?
I hear you. I hear your voice. This has been Meeting Malkmus, a Pavement podcast. I hear it every time.
Oh, I'm sorry I ruined the song.
No, it's great. I love it. I love it.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, you too, JD. Thanks a lot, man.
Take care and wash your goddamn hands.
Yeah, wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malkmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalkmus.com. Duvra! Podcasts and such.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.